Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
And yet, they claim to not see the light, and they clearly can't see anything through Him. What is real and what is not real? They say, give God the glory. And if God is standing right in front of them, then what God are they referring to? How many times have I used scripture and Christian principles and these measures and these standards of morals and ethics to be able to defend my very own sin? How many times have I said, I only continue to do what I do because I know it is right? How many times have I spoken like these blind men who were incapable of discerning what is right from what is wrong? St. Anthony, he leaves behind 7 letters that we still have until today that he wrote to his disciples. And in those letters, he encourages his disciples and he tells them, please pray for the spirit of discernment. Please pray for the spirit of discernment that the Lord may be able to grant you to know what is right from what is wrong, what is good from what is bad, what is real from what is unreal. Why is he asking his disciples to pray for this? Why is St. Anthony encouraging those that he loves to be able to discern? Because how easy is it for the human being to be deceived? How easy is it for us to believe a lie? How easy is it for us to take something that is very small and to turn it into something so big and be completely deceived? I will not speak to you of a person who is like a child. I will not speak to you of the people who are simplistic in their faith and so they get deceived easily. I will speak to you of the giants of the church. Let me speak to you of Arius, the priest. Arius, who was a priest in the church of Alexandria, ordained to be a shepherd and a pastor to an entire people. And he was one of the enemies that St. Anthony leaves the desert twice. Twice. Once in hopes to be killed and receive the crown of martyrdom, and another time to go stand next to Abu Amba Athanasius in order for him to defend the faith against Arius. Arius was a priest. Sometimes we think that those who are in the priesthood, those who serve as priests or bishops or patriarchs, that somehow they are immune to sin. Somehow the Holy Spirit protects them and they are incapable of making any mistakes. But the biggest enemies the church has ever had were dressed in the robe that belongs to clergy. And Arius was one of the greatest enemies. Now Arius didn't believe everything that was wrong. He only accepted one wrong teaching. He accepted one wrong teaching and he took that teaching and he made it his life's purpose to convince himself that he was right and everyone else was wrong. What was the teaching that Arius believed? Arius read the verse that said, my Father is greater than I. That the Lord speaks in the Gospel of St. John, and he says, there you have it. The Son is not equal to the Father, therefore the Father is God, and the Son cannot be God. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you cannot say that He is your Lord, your God, and your Savior. You cannot call Him God. He is not divine. He is not equal to His Father. Everyone in the church warned Him. How many people gathered at Nicaea? We say it every day in the liturgy. 318 bishops. 318 bishops. What we don't tell you, and what is recorded in history, it wasn't just bishops who were there. Every bishop was allowed to bring with him a deacon and priests. So imagine, but if every bishop brings with him deacons and priests, you had well over 1,000 people who were in attendance. And they all stood there and told Arius, what you are teaching is heresy. It destroys the faith. If Jesus is not God, then our faith is futile. If God did not visit His people and take on the form of man, the incarnation is useless. His crucifixion is meaningless. His resurrection never happened. You are destroying the faith. 318 bishops plus all of their deacons and their priests. Imagine if we had one person in our church here at St. George and St. Anthony who was preaching something that was erroneous. And they believed in their heart that they were right. And they believed that what was taught to them is the only thing that is true. And so, a few of the servants of the church sit down with the person and tell them, Habibi, mish keda, please. What you are teaching is not right. That is not what we understand in Scripture. That is not what we hear in the liturgy. This is not what was taught to us by the early church fathers. This is not our faith. And he says, I am right. You are wrong. You need to get educated. So those people come to Abuna. And I sit with the person. And I tell him, what they told you is true. You are wrong. And he says, no, Abuna, you are wrong and they are wrong. I am right. So I bring Ambabulus. Now it's me and Ambabulus and a couple of priests from Ottawa, and we are sitting with him, and it gets bigger and bigger. Some of us would think and say, what? Eventually this person is going to like come to his senses. And when you have the servants and the priest of the church and the bishop of the diocese, and he creates for you a clerical council of 5 or 6 priests with him, and they're all telling you you are wrong, at some point, Yani, if you know God, and if you have any humility, you'll think to yourself and say, what? I might be wrong. Arius had 318 bishops sitting around him. And they brought with them priests and deacons, and the entire church told him, Arius, please, you're going to destroy the church. And he insisted. He insisted. What he thought was real was completely unreal. What he believed was truth was a complete lie and a fabrication. And until today, we suffer from Arius. Almost 1700 years, we still suffer from Arius. There are Christians today who call themselves Christians who are not Christians, who believe in the Arian heresy. There are religions that exist today whose foundation is the Arian heresy. 1700 years later, how easy is it for the human being to be deceived? To have the light right in the front of us and to not see anything through Him who is the light. To not acknowledge that He is life, that He is truth, that He is the way, that He is the light. How easy is it for us to be deceived? St. Anthony says, pray. Pray for the spirit of discernment. Pray that you may be able to know through God. What does the act of prayer do for us to be able to understand? Isn't prayer in and of itself an act of surrender? Instead of believing that I know the truth, instead of thinking that I am the standard and I already know what is right from wrong, when I pray, what am I doing? I'm going to God and I am telling Him, Lord, I know nothing. Lord, the only thing that I know is that I know nothing. I don't know what is right. I don't know what is wrong. But I know You are the light. I know You are the truth. I know You are the standard. I come to You so You can tell me. St. Peter encourages us in Scripture to say, to bring every thought into captivity and bring it before Christ. Imagine what this looks like for just a moment. That an evil thought would come and tempt me. And I take this thought and I bind it up. And I bring it as a slave before Christ. And I say, is this thought from You? If it is, Lord, I accept it. If it is not from You, I want nothing to do with it. That every time I am challenged, that every time I am told I am wrong, instead of defending my ego, that I run to God and tell Him, Lord, is this You? Are You correcting me? Are You teaching me? Is this Your discipline, Lord, so that I can come out to be upright? Lord, all I know is that I know nothing. If this is from You, I accept it. If it is not from You, help me to reject it. When a human being is capable of adopting this spirit of humility, then the spirit of discernment is what guides the person. And this person is capable of immediately knowing what is right from what is wrong. Yesterday we had a spiritual day, and we spoke of the great Saint Anthony and what it is that he taught his disciples. And when we were speaking about discernment yesterday, we gave this beautiful example in the life of His Holiness Pope Shenouda. Some people say it's attributed to Pope Shenouda. Some people think it's Baba Krollos, but I'm not sure who it was. I'm pretty sure it's Baba Shenouda. As you know, Pope Shenouda was put under house arrest by the president of Egypt for a significant period of time. He was not allowed to leave his monastery. And he was put under house arrest there. And what many people don't know is that there were several attempts of assassination against His Holiness Pope Shenouda. There are people who wanted him dead. And so because of this, the monastery was always very secure, and they tried to make sure that they protected the patriarch in making sure that only those who had access to him were people who were known by the church and respected by the church and who had no ill intentions towards him. And so it is said in the story that Pope Shenouda had many meetings, and he had a secretary who would be outside his office who would make sure to only let people in who had appointments. And at some point, three monks show up. They're dressed in a monastic robe. They have the big Coptic cross, and they have the alaswa of the monks. They're wearing the head covering of the monks. And they come and they say, "We have an appointment with His Holiness." The secretary tells them, "But you're not on the schedule today." He said, "Oh, well, His Holiness actually told us to come visit him a very long time ago when he came to visit our monastery. We're from this monastery that is further away. It's not very well known. It's a small monastery somewhere in the Sa'id. And so because of this, yani, His Holiness told us to come. We didn't know we had to take an appointment. Please, we traveled. It's important. He told us to come." And so Taban, the secretary is on edge. This is a very difficult time. The Pope is under house arrest. There are people who want to kill him. And so he enters to go see His Holiness, and he tells him, "Sayyidna, there are people who are here who want to see you. Three monks named so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. They said they met you when you visited this monastery several months ago. And they said that you told them to come." And so His Holiness said, "I remember visiting the monastery, but I don't know who they are." He said, "Well, Sayyidna, they said that they traveled," and Sayyidna, immediately, the spirit of discernment begins to work in him, and he feels like there's something wrong. There's something not right with what's happening. And so he is guided by the spirit to be able to do a small test to see whether or not those people were from God or were not from God. So he tells his secretary, "Listen, I have a lot of appointments, so have them sit down and wait, and we'll see what happens. But do me a favor. Seeing as how they're going to sit down and wait, offer for them to drink some tea." And at that period, it was the period of Lent, and so they're supposed to be fasting. He goes, "But I want you to offer them milk with their tea. Azam alayhum bi shay bilaban. And see what they say and tell me what happens." So the secretary immediately understood what His Holiness was trying to do. So he goes outside and he goes, "Sayyidina has a very long schedule and you weren't part of the schedule. He will be happy to see you, but at the end of the day, so there's still a few hours. Are you willing to wait?" And they said, "Sure, we'll wait, no problem." So he gets them to sit down. He goes, "As you're waiting, let me get you something to refresh yourself. How about I make you a nice kubayat e shay bilaban? Nice cup of tea with milk, and I'll bring it to you." He made the shay, he put the leban, he brings it to them, and they gladly accepted and drank. And so the secretary runs back in to see Sayyidina, and he goes, "Elha, shibu shay." They were so happy, and they drank the tea, and they drank the milk, and they didn't question, and they didn't stop, and they didn't look at all disturbed. Immediately His Holiness knew what. These people are not from us. They called the security. The security came and took them, and indeed, they were people who were plotting against His Holiness. They were people who got the robes, who got the headgear, who grew their beard, and who had a cross. And they looked like they were from God. They looked and they fit the bill. But yet they were not at all from God, and they weren't coming to do God's will in any way. When His Holiness was asked, "How did you know?" He goes, "I didn't. I just heard him tell me, khud balak. Look at what the spirit of discernment does. The spirit of discernment, if we as Christians begin to work with the Holy Spirit inside us, the same way the great Abba Anthony did, we will be able to recognize his voice. He will be able to tell us when something is true and when something is false. He will guide us to recognize what is right from what is wrong, and to recognize what is real and what is from God. But only those of us who are used to his voice, only those of us who are praying and telling him, guide me, help me, speak to me what is truth. If I can surrender to the Spirit of God and tell him, I know nothing, you speak through me, you act through me, you behave through me, you guide my life, I have a much better chance of acquiring that spirit of discernment if I do that than if I think that I know everything, and if I think that I have enough life experience to be able to tell myself and others what to do. What's the difference between His Holiness Pope Shenouda and me? Do you think His Holiness Pope Shenouda received a different dose of the Holy Spirit than I did in baptism? Do you think that the Holy Spirit that was given to His Holiness Pope Shenouda is any different than the Holy Spirit that you received from the church? God forbid that we should think that. His Holiness Pope Shenouda is not favored by God in any way. It is His Holiness Pope Shenouda who favors God more than I do. It is because he loves God more than me, it is because he has surrendered himself to God more than I have, that he is capable of hearing his voice. When the young blind man gets kicked out of the synagogue, and imagine being this man who this great miracle happens, and you can now see, and you feel so close to God, and you feel so blessed by the fact that the Lord has visited you and has heard your prayers, and he has done this wonderful, miraculous work in your life. And then within no time, those who represent God reject you and throw you out and tell you, you have no room in our synagogues. What does the Lord Christ do? He goes to him. He reminds him, don't forget who is your light. I will be the source of your light. He tells him, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of God? And he says, who? Who is he, Lord, that I maybe believe? He tells him, it is him who is speaking to you and who has done these things. The Lord visits every single one of us and he says, I want to be your light. I want to be your light in your darkness. I want to walk with you in your struggle. I want to meet you where it hurts the most. So we have to be willing to recognize him as the light by which we see everything else. If there is a light within me that is not from him, it must be extinguished. Only his light can shine, because only his light shows what is real and what is not real, what is truth and what is not. May the Lord allow us to be able to hear the words of the great Saint Anthony and to pray for the spirit of discernment. And when we have the spirit of discernment, may the Lord do to us as he has done to this young blind man. May he open our eyes to be able to see him as the light of the world. To God be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.